Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm very happy to have back on the show Michael Yost. Michael, thanks for coming down. It's really good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's always an honor to be here.
And besides being a great guitar player and a great artist, and we're going to listen to his newest release, we're going to go through it and talk about it. He also has his own radio show, Radio Venice. And give him a little bit of info before we start on that.
Radio Venice is a show out of my recording studio in Venice Beach, all live, all good, all the time. I wanted to give a shout out to my crew, Ray Stanton, my co-producer, my co-host, Tonin, and my co-noisemaker, Barry Conley.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Please check in RadioVenice.tv. And we're inspired, like people like you, making radio, talking about music, bringing music out there is a good one.
And he has a better location. I mean, we're okay in the valley. We have a nice view here, but he's got the view of the ocean. It's great. Anyway, you had just released a new album, and if I can pronounce it right, it's Cirque de Guitar,
yeah. It means, it's French, means circus of guitars.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about let's get a little bit into the concept, what you were trying to do in this new album, because it's quite different from some of the other stuff that you've done.
True. You know, this is album number 5 of my solo albums right now, and most of them are really some of them are orchestrated, but just recently, the last two, I was really on one instrument, mostly Miss Lucy, mm-hmm. and just playing it, and also like I do the songs live. This time, I allowed myself to orchestrate a little bit. Mm-hmm. I felt like, how about I make an orchestra out of Miss Lucy? So the first song of the album, Cirque de Guitar, is basically like the circus. So Lucy, there's a lot of Miss Lucy's going on, playing with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so like I would write for an orchestra. But there was a lot of fun. And some of it is, I also got a little bit, I love psychedelic music. I love rock and roll, all this stuff. I allowed myself to not do one or the other, to blend it a little bit. And that was also the idea. I went free and made a crazy studio album.
Oh, okay. Well, let me play a clip. Let me play the title track. Cirque de Guitar.
I don't know how to
say. So let me play this because, yeah, there's a lot of guitars on here.
Yeah,
it's and
fun.
It's kind of interesting what you're doing. I was trying to figure out what you were doing, but all of this is basically Miss Lucy?
It's all Miss Lucy. Also like the whole percussion stuff. So with the nails and the tapping plate, So I doubled a couple times. This turned out to be like a snare drum or something. Mm-hmm. There's a heartbeat in there, but otherwise it's all guitar. It's all done with the guitar.
All right. Well, here's the title track. Take a listen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guitars in there.
So I forgot, yeah, there's also distorted bass in there.
Yeah, so what were you using? How did you do that?
I have an old Fender Jazz Bass, and I usually overdrive, when I record it direct, I overdrive the input. I have a tube preamp, an old PV tube preamp, and I just crank it and just compress it a lot.
And so that's tube distortion.
This tube distortion, yeah. That is kind of like part of my philosophy. If you have a lot of distorted guitars, you need a clean bass under it. When you have clean acoustic guitars, a distorted fuzz bass makes it beautiful. It gives it like a warm bed, and the acoustics, they sit nice in there. So that's what happened there.
It does work. I mean, it's interesting. When you hear it by yourself, it's like, wow, that thing's crank. That thing is distorted. But when you hear it in the background...
It depends what kind of distortion. It needs to be warm, and it needs to be nice compressed. So a fuzz sound works really well, in particular against beautiful acoustic guitars. It sets like a nice contrast and makes the beautiful acoustic guitars even more beautiful if you have the fuzz bass against it.
Yeah.
So that's what I like in the mix to do that.
Now, when you're the opening part, when after a couple of times, then there's this real low end. Is that the bass or is that the guitars?
That's the bass.
The bass. So it's playing because it. Was that a problem with the fuzz bass getting the low end, or because usually when you distort, you lose top end and low end?
Oh no, it's okay. I have plenty. I didn't put it through an amp particular. It goes DI, so I have a lot of low end available there, and then you tweak it a little bit with the EQ. But you will see if there's not so much EQing actually going on. If the acoustic guitar sounds right, it's mic'd right, and the bass is right, it all falls in place.
How did you mic the guitars?
I have this, it's a large membrane condenser microphone, old CAD mic. That's usually what I use. And I use it about like 2-3 feet from the guitar away. You know, Miss Lucy sounds really good. So you just don't want to come too close mic. Particular acoustic guitars, too close mic, I feel like takes the soul away. You got to go a little bit away.
You got to let it breathe, yeah.
Yeah, let it breathe. Where it sounds good for your ear, that's where I put the mic.
Now, you recorded this both here and in Germany, correct?
Yeah.
So, is the room really live, or is it? Do you have a real live room that you record in, or?
You know, it's my live studio where we also do the Radio Venice show. Mm-hmm. You know, my trick is I put many, many guitars out and have them around there, create a nice overtones. It's like a Helmholtz resonator. So. The reflections in the room. The room is a really good sounding room. There's a window, and then it's a bit lively, but also like having many instruments around that creates nice overtones, harmonic overtones, kind of tuning the room. That makes a big difference.
Right, and it must have made a difference with all those layers, because if it's too reverberant, it can get in the way.
Yeah, the thing is about this, most of this on this album, it's pretty dry. You know, particularly with these guitars, I like them to have a natural room. I'm not really a big fan of digital plug-in reverbs, right? You can make them sound all right. But, you know, I'm not a big fan. This album, if you listen to it on the headphones, a lot of it, it's like, these are a lot of guitars, but they're like in that room, right?
Right, right. It's pretty present.
So it's pretty present. Otherwise, it would just wash away and you would lose all that things.
Now, also, too, I heard in the background, when it started getting more orchestral, did you speed up the guitar? Because it sounds like the classical's like really high, or did you just play that?
No, that's just like basically...
No, but I mean the riff, da-da-dun-dun-dun, it sounds like there's an octave above it.
Yeah, but I played it. Nothing is sped up. I just played it.
Because that's pretty high up there. That would sound...
You know, no, it's not that high. It's not... It's not pitched or anything.
Oh, okay. No, it sounded great. I mean, it was like the octave thing really works.
It was up here. I just have to look for it right now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
No, but all of this is played. I didn't do anything. And like you said, what I heard also, there was a heartbeat. I just made myself this heartbeat out of a djembe that I EQ'd, and I use this in a lot of my music. It's just bom, bom. I just got this, you know, from working with African music that makes it really, or funk. So I have this in there, and that's the only thing that's kind of boom boom programmed. The rest is all like tapping with the fingers.
Yeah, no, it's the percussion part of it, using the guitar as a percussion, really worked.
Yeah.
It was really good. Now, before we go into more songs, for the people that are not familiar, tell us a little bit about Miss Lucy.
Oh, yeah. Miss Lucy is my main love. She's built by Tomas Delgado for Candela's guitar. I got a few of his guitars. These are the best guitars ever. I got her like many years ago, and I traveled with her quite a bit, and she's incredible. She has her own personal voice. I'll play with her a little bit later. And she's all over this album.
Mm-hmm.
She's also in the, it also works well with electric guitars and everything, but this is, it's a flamenca. It's a negra. It's got a cedar top and rosewood sides compared to Blanca, which is a spruce top and cypress back and sides.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it was a
so
first...
So that's rosewood and cedar?
Cedar top and rosewood. So originally, the traditional flamenco guitars back in the days were all Blancas. They had spruce top and cypress back and sides, right? And then later, actually the one that really started was Paco de Lucía. He started doing some things in flamenco that was a little bit against the rules, including having a cedar top on the guitar. So, and then when the negra started, it has a little bit darker sound. It's a little bit more a combination between a flamenca and a classical guitar. Classical guitars mostly have cedar tops, a lot of it. So you have a little bit more also next to the grind. You also have the warm sound for the more lyrical.
The bracing that's different between this and a regular classical? What's the difference?
The top is much thinner. Right?
Oh, okay.
So to have, as far as I heard about it, it's a secret. It goes to really, really tiny, tiny fractions of a millimeter
right.
about how thick and what they're doing. So it's a rather thin top. What it also is, the bracing might be different. I don't know totally, but also like the action of the guitar is lower. And, you know, while you try on a classical guitar to have no fret noise at all, it's in here, almost like a built-in distortion, like yeah. they have also by African music. So you have that rasp in there.
Now, flamencas tend not to have as much sustain as a classical, or do you? It sounds like that guitar you can hold a note on it.
Yeah,
well.
This has a super sustain. Yeah, but a lot of the pure flamenco guitars are like very. It's like almost a rhythm instrument.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you know, so like they're really sharp and present, and they have a really high attack. So this is a little bit of a hybrid, I would say, because this has a beautiful sustain, but of course the higher the action and the bigger the volume of the body, the longer sustain you have.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole nother show we can do with Tomas. He can tell you much more
yes.
about it. Tomas is a genius. If you listen here, Tomas, I'm going to see him on Thursday. He's a great friend. He opened a whole nother door of guitar playing since I met him.
Let Tomas know he's overdue to come back. So and
he was here before, right?
Yes, he's been here before, but you might as well come and hang with us if he comes down. Candela's guitars have been around, just so if you are not familiar with them, they are an institution or a part of history of Los Angeles. And
Absolutely.
They've been here from, I think, the early, the turn of the 1900s. It's something like that. Started with his grandfather. And one of the most famous creations that they made is they made the original Mickey Mouse guitar that was used on the Mickey Mouse Club. When he was here last time, he was talking and he showed us some of the designs and sketches that he made. He made four of them, I think, for Disney. And it was a four-string tenor guitar. And it was, it's amazing. I mean, but his guitars are, Jose Feliciano, I think, is another one that uses it. There's a major artist use it all the time. They're beautiful.
I played beautiful guitars all over the world. No one could beat his guitars.
Yes, no, they're definitely beautiful.
It changed my life.
So anyway, that's the story on them. So check them out at Candela's Guitars. You can Google them and find them on their website. Beautiful stuff. And check him out. And he's local. So if you're in L.A., you can go visit the shop. And it's a real neat experience. I'm going to play another one. Now, I think this is one of the songs that you did both places. That you did some of it here and some over there. This is interesting because I'll let him tell the story about it. Let me play the clip and then I'll let you explain. This is called Falling in Time. And there's some interesting stuff that's going on in here that he's doing. And I'll play it first, and then we'll just dig into it a little more. Here's Falling in Time. I had to play that ending. These songs are much longer. I'm pulling little clips, and I'm just trying to show some of the things. But they're so, I love the psychedelia where he's doing the backward stuff, and he's doing a lot of interesting things there. But let's talk a little bit, because there's a church bell in there.
Yeah, so that is, I told you earlier, you know, I have been recently recording a little bit here in Venice in the studio and in Germany at my family's home. I have a little studio now as well when I'm over there. So these are songs that are kindly recorded over there, mixed here, or the other way around. This particular song, Falling in Time, it's kind of like it has a bit of the mood of earlier times, like a deja vu or something. And this is the church bells actually of a church at my hometown in Germany, right? And so, and I thought they sounded really great, and they give this kind of like weird emotion, and I wanted to make music around it. So what I did, I took the church bell and I put this as basis of the track. So the church bell was first. That was the rhythm. It's actually 60 beats per second, 60 beats per minute. So BPM 60. And then just like also the church bell is A440. So it was super easy. I just had to
put it. Oh, it was automatic. It was already a pitch. You didn't have to correct it.
I didn't even have to correct it. So it was 440. And so when I had this, I put this in there and started playing along. You know, that piano is an old mini baby grand, slightly out of tune at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, I like the slightly out of tune part of it. Makes it much better than a sample keyboard. So I played the piano, and then Miss Lucy, of course, is on there. And so that was a basic track, and then it had this kind of somewhat haunting melody. And in the end, I just had to just give it this extra, the psychedelic part. It's just, you know, I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan and all that kind of stuff, you know. Also, these records are basically I can't even say how often I listen to these records, so that's all in there. So some of that, the really like dark trembling stuff is big piano chords, the dissonant piano chords, and I turned them around. So what you hear the decay first going to the attack, so
you flip them, they're backwards,
I flip them, they're backwards, reverse. But the good part is with these big piano chords, you know, it comes out of nothing, it feels really good. And then in the end, you hear this little in the talk, there's a tube tape echo. I have a full tone tube tape echo. I'm not sure if you know this, they're wonderful. You know, it's like a Echoplex, but a more modern
is it a Benson? Echorec?
No, a full tone.
Oh, it's a full tone. Oh, it's a newer one.
Full tone. It's a newer one. It's a great machine. I love this one. A lot of the reverbs and a lot of echoes on there actually are not digital plugins. They're that full tone. It's like a little bit of Echoplex on steroids.
It has the tape.
It has tape and
so
tubes.
So it looks like an Echoplex, but it's just there.
It has tape and it has tubes in there and everything. Mm-hmm. And the good thing, you can overdrive the tape and all that kind of stuff. So I had a lot of fun with this. So and that is part of it in there too. So yes, it is easy to reverse something in Pro Tools and just play reverse. It's not as complicated as it used to be. I still know to do how it on tape, and I love doing that.
It's not. So yes, it's a little more involved.
It's a little bit more evolved, but it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I do like that. So I had to give it like this ending.
Now, where did you when you recorded the church bell? Did you record in the church or outside?
Outside. Okay. Just walking by. I was with a friend, and we were just going to a restaurant, and the church was just ringing. It was 6 o'clock, and then cell phone up. And recorded it.
It sounds good. I mean, it's the fidelity is great.
It sounds really good. You know, if you really listen to it in the beginning, you can hear a little bit wind in there. So it's a real thing. So it was not, and it was a small little church, but all these churches are really old. So, you know, moving to America so many years ago, now I'm not necessarily a religious person, but I like churches for the culture and the art and everything, and also the sounds and everything. So I'm rather fascinated now, since everything is so new here. In America, I like.
Yeah,
I
they're electronic. A lot of them are electronic bells. They don't have.
That
thing sounds huge for a small church.
Yeah, it's good. It came out. It was like in this. You know, the houses were reflecting it a bit.
So. Is it like in a square? So there's you're getting a good reverb out of it.
That's kind of fun.
So all the backwards stuff was the piano backwards.
There was a piano backwards. There was just a piano. The piano.
Okay. Now, I'm going to play another one that's, again, there's a lot of different things. The album's pretty eclectic. It goes in a lot of different directions. This one I liked a lot. This one has slide guitar in it. This is called The Sad and the Beautiful. Kind of feels to me like a Cajun type of
feel. The thing is, what happened there, this is the first time I played actually glass slide on the Spanish guitar, on a classic guitar.
Oh, okay.
That's Miss Lucy, the slide, so I tried to.
Oh, Miss Lucy's doing the slide on that?
That's the first time I tried that.
That's great. All right, well, here, take a listen to this. That was interesting. Those birds, was that?
So these birds are little birdies in my hometown.
Okay.
Everything is recorded in Venice, but the little birdies are from my hometown.
So you did a specific recording of them? Or you know, was that leakage? Was that leakage during your
playing? No. Sometimes I'm running around and with a phone and I hear something like birds or a little river or like the church bells and just turn it on. And then
and
I
you
like,
start recording.
And I start recording. And then I know they're going to come in useful at some point. So, and this at this point, it got so dark and so on, and I felt like, oh, I got this little bird sample, you know, that, mm-hmm. and they're not really samples, you know, that you go, you know, you can get on your internet, on YouTube, try, find birds, there's a million. I try to make all these recordings by myself and use them in the music, right?
Well, that's great, because they sound kind of unique. I mean, Most of this, a sound effects library sounds like a sound effects library.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do it. You have to make it yourself.
Yeah, yeah, it makes it more, it's more personable.
Absolutely.
Now, how many guitars, how many Miss Lucy's are in there?
On this one? You know, actually.
Because there are more than one doing slide, right?
Yes. So check out. So that guitar sounds so dark because I tuned the guitar down. It's like an open D tuning. Mm-hmm. It's like a dadgad, but it doesn't have the third in there. I just have to, it's just D's and A's.
Mm-hmm.
So, and basically, so this is the main riff, so on Miss Lucy, and then there's two slide guitars on there. What there's in the bottom, there's also the heartbeat is in there again. You can hear boom, boom, it's in there. And then that's the only time I barely ever use real keyboards. There's a keyboard in there. What I'm playing.
There's a synth in there.
It's a Mammotron.
Oh, okay.
Which belonged to a friend of mine. He let me use it, and it was just too good sounding. So Mammotron is like a Mellotron, but it's a German company. They do like a digital version of it. So you have all the different forms of the Mellotron. I'm a big fan of the Mellotron, the real Mellotron. So that's not a real one, but you could, like the choir and the strings and everything, you could also blend this, what you couldn't do with the original. So this is, I was so intrigued by that sound. That
yeah, the Mellotron also too is it's the go-to. It's not tape anymore. It's all digital, but that type of sampling is, they're used a lot. The Moody Blues actually use the Mellotron now. They don't use the Mellotron.
The Mellotron is great.
Yes.
I have to say, I'm not really a big fan of digital keyboards, but that one was fun. It was just in my studio for a little while.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's not mine.
The next time you get over there and you try it, see if he has the 18 strings per note Genesis strings that they used on the reissue of in Genesis Revisited. They use it on Watcher of the Skies. It's the hugest sounding chords you'll ever hear in your life. It's okay, just monstrous.
That thing is a monster.
Yes, but there was a filter suite type of thing, type of a sound. Wasn't that a synth?
Yeah, but there's a tone knob on the Mellotron.
Oh, you're doing that with the Mellotron and opening it up.
And opening up that filter. And so that gave that sound. So I did this live while it was happening.
Oh, okay. So because you have that going on in the low end too, but is there also the bass?
No, I don't think there's a bass on that.
That's a bass. That's all from the Mellotron.
It's all from the Mellotron.
It's great. It's really a great sound.
Yeah, I couldn't. So that song actually was done. I fucked around with the Mellotron. Oh, sorry. I played around with the Mellotron, and then the low tuning and stuff, and that kind of it. And I played a little slide on it. You know, some of these on this one are a little bit, they come out of experiments.
You know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the Falling in Time was inspired by the church. This one was inspired by the Mellotron. Right?
Ah.
The first one was inspired by the name Circus. So I wanted Miss Lucy to be a circus, you know.
Well, it's interesting because the tone you're getting out of using the slide on Miss Lucy, it gets more of like a dobro type of sound. It's more wooden.
Yes.
And it sounds really nice, but like some of that stuff that I've heard from the South in Louisiana, some of the slide stuff, it had that feel to it.
It only works on this one with a glass slide.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. I like the brass for the steel strings, right? But for the, I've not really seen it much being on it. There's a guy, he does a fretless classic guitar. I don't have his name. I think he's from Turkey or something. Incredible. And he plays fretless nylon strings, and he also uses a slide.
Mm-hmm.
That was a beautiful sound.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name.
No, but I mean the tone is just, it's, so there's two slide guitars. Is there two just kind of like whatever type of a rhythm type of?
So, you know, the rhythm, I just can't use it because this guitar is not Miss Lucy, but it's that kind of tuning, so I can show you. It's like. A little bit harder to play here, but this was a basic kind of like. Something like that. It was done on Miss Lucy, but that kind of tuning
right.
And that thing. So that was a basic rhythm guitar. I did this, and then the slides came on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then. The G and the B string, they're tuned the same.
Yeah, so you get like a drone string.
It gives like a nice chorus effect. So that's the kind of fun part. So that, but yeah. I did this, what I usually do here on Goya, I did this on Miss Lucy on that track.
Well, while we're, you have the Goya out, we might as well cover it.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this guitar.
Yeah. This is a guitar. I got it as a gift from a friend many years ago here in Los Angeles. He bought it for $60 at a pawn shop. So that is actually a Goya acoustic guitar, F11. This mm-hmm. was their Folk Series. It's built 1957 in Sweden. And they were made for the American market to compete with Levin and all these kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And incredible guitars. So for a while you could get them rather cheap. Now people are looking for them. And so this one, my friend didn't really totally knew what he had. So when before he gave it to me, he thought it's cool to put a couple of holes in there and, you know, to rough it up a little bit. But in the end, what happened is he took the paint off the top, which opens it up. It's really nice and bright. I like this, and then I just started using it. It has almost like a classical thing, and it has an incredible tone. Now, no guitar sounds like this.
I love your truss rod cover. I don't think that's stock.
So what that is, when I was 15,
right.
My aunt won the lottery, and she took my sister and me to Kenya.
Oh, wow.
So this is actually real ebony. That was when it still was legal to get little things from ebony. So that's from that vacation, I have this little ebony thing.
And is that ebony or ivory?
Ivory. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Ivory, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
I meant
beautiful.
To say that.
That is beautiful. Let me.
So that's a truss rod cover.
Let me
that's
get closer. You got it. This is too good. There we go.
So that's a. I don't even think it has a truss rod.
Now, is that what pickup is it?
So that's a Candelas pickup. Put it in there. So I have two pickups in there. I have one that is a under saddle pickup, a piezo. Mm-hmm. Then I have this, and so with this switch, I can switch these two. And so, and
oh,
so,
you can one or the other.
One or the other. So what's kind of cool is if you play more slide, more you want a more like if I want to play this through an electric guitar amp, I probably use this pickup, right?
Okay.
While when I go through the PA, I'm going to use mm-hmm. the piezo, and it's a mighty sound.
It's got a great sound.
I have a few Goyas. You know, I also have a Goya mandolin, they're incredible instruments, right? But this one
are they still made or are they?
So this got sold late 60s to the Martin Guitar Company, Goya, and they started building Goya instruments in Japan under the name Goya, right? So there's Goya instruments still from that period, but they're less valuable. What you want is the ones that be like late 50s or early 60s have been made in Sweden. They're all really incredible.
That what is that? Is that a mahogany back inside with a spruce top?
No, actually, I'm not totally sure, to be honest. I'm not totally sure. It looks like a mahogany neck.
Yeah, I don't know what that back is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it's rosewood. But God, it has that sound, though.
So
it sounds great.
Yeah, it's good. You know, that's there's lots of also when I record in the studio, people come with a lot of really expensive Martins and Taylors and everything. And then sometimes when they record with me, it's like, hey, try one of mine for things. And the Goya always ends up on there somewhere.
Yeah. No, it's got a really nice also, the overtones on it. Just
for recording, also I like guitars with smaller bodies better. You know, they have a little, they're more to, able to control in the bass, and they're just cut really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're layering, that stays in the pocket better.
Yeah, I have a, I got this album called California Burning, and she's like on there all. Mm-hmm. There's a song called Goya's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's on there, and then I have her and then the Goya mandolin on there. So it's kind of fun.
That's nice. That's a great guitar.
That's good, yeah. For $60.
Okay, well, let's move on. There's more to do. There's more to talk about. The next cut I'm going to play is The Show Must Go On.
Oh, wow.
And this is the one, I'll play it first, and then we'll tell everybody what, because each song is like a surprise, what he does sonically. He's doing all different sorts of things in each of the songs, and it's fascinating how he's recording this. So here's The Show Must Go On. Take a listen, then we'll discuss. Some really wild stuff that you're doing in that song. So kind of break out a little bit what's going on in there.
The basic of it all is still is Miss Lucy, right? I'm playing. This is like the main theme. So the idea was go big on this. So I have a couple of these, and it's like really percussive stuff. This is where Miss Lucy really can cut through. There's a big drum set. Andy Kravitz is playing big rock and roll drums on there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that has to cut through things. So I had to work with this. This was the most work of all the songs, since there was so much going on to make it work as a mix. Right, because a bunch of guitars going on, making these drums that are really big, but so you still have the acoustic guitars cut through. There's also distorted bass, of course, on there. Mm-hmm. And then Matthew DeMeritt is playing beautiful baritone saxophone on there. So this was a little bit inspired how Dave Bowie does this in a lot of his songs. He had, instead of heavy guitar chords, he had saxophones stacked to just kick in a chorus. And so since I had all these Spanish guitars on there, it wouldn't have worked to put distorted guitars to make this more heavy. So this is a fortunate to have people like Maddie D in my neighborhood. He came by and played. There's four big baritone saxophones playing these chords in the chorus, and then he played a crazy ass solo.
I heard the baritone doing that bass line. Boom, 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 boom. Which is kind of a King Crimson type of thing. It's very progressive. And then he's doing the little solo, but if you listen carefully, if you listen back to the show, you got those chords in there. I was trying to figure out what was going on in there. I mean, I recognized the sax when it did the little line, but it was hard to tell how is he getting that sound? Because it sounds distorted, but it's not really distorted.
It's not really distorted. You know, I mean, the acoustic guitars, the Spanish guitars, I run them through a compressor, so they're really pressed, and Miss Lucy get the sound with it too, so it is going. But it was a challenge, I have to say, to make it sure so you can hear everything, and it's not cluttered up and everything. So I did quite some mixing. I finished this December. I was with my family in Germany. I had to spend some time. I spent a week just
Wow.
Fine-tuning that mix.
Did you have a difficult time with the Barry and the fuzz bass?
You know,
I mean, it's clean. I can hear the two.
You will have to work on it. You know, you have to find the spot for each instrument to be in, so they're not covering it up. So what was for me the most challenging part? I wanted to keep the percussive stuff of the Spanish guitar in there, and so have it loud and up front, almost like a flamenco tune,
right?
But still work with the drums. So that took some work, right?
Yeah, no, it's a great mix, but I mean it's pretty heavy. That's a heavy tune.
Yeah,
I mean it's interesting. So the overall, besides. I'm trying to get a feel of how the songs, is there a concept to the album, or is it just a group of songs?
You know, the thing is, these songs collected over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. from me being sometimes over there, sometimes over here, and then always when sometimes happens, you know, a certain emotion triggers a certain song. I usually have an idea if it's like a little melody or like the church bell, mm-hmm. or whatever, so that triggers this. So, and then I kind of start collecting songs, and eventually it becomes an album,
mm-hmm.
right? So it isn't, the larger concept on this one is, I'm not going to limit myself to say, because I can prove this very easy that everything I can do live, can do by myself. But this time was, I wanted to use the studio as an instrument as well.
Right.
And so, because I also love engineering, I love the whole thing about making mm-hmm. records. So, and I do this a lot for other people too, but this time I said, okay, I'm not going to make it like all scaled down. This time I'm just going to let it all and have some fun with it. And that was the concept with it. And then how I space the songs after each other, it's a feel, it's an emotion thing, how I think they fit, how it goes, and particularly to keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's definitely, you're really expanding on your sound palette. And real quick, you see me flashing this tablet. The record's available digitally at Michael's site, guitaryost.com.
And Bandcamp.
And Bandcamp.com. So that's what I'm showing you is the cover. There's no CD yet. But anyway, I'm going to play one more song before we do the premiere.
I just wanted to say something real quick about the Bandcamp. If you downloaded it from there, you can download it at high resolution quality, like 24-bit, 48K, just the way I mixed it. Mm-hmm. If you put it to CD, it will be a reduction or like MP3. You can do also a small one, but there's a lot of effort have been done to make these sound good, so you can get it full.
Right, right. Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
That's the good part about
that. That's very good that you have a high res or a higher res version. All right, I'm going to play one other cut before we get to the premiere, because we're running out of time.
All right.
And this is another one, some interesting stuff. I'm just going to play it, then we'll talk about it. This one's called The Magic of 12. And take a listen.
Bye.
that wah guitar is just rude. I love it.
Now, that's a Troussard.
That's a Troussard?
That's a Troussard, one of the old Telecasters. It's a beautiful sounding guitar, James Troussard.
And what are you, now you're, what are you, is that, what amp are you using, or are you using an amp?
Yeah, always amps and mics. So that's a Marshall JCM 800, the one that I bought when I was 18 years old in Germany, still the same one. And
that was in Germany?
In Germany, okay. I bought this one in Germany, I brought this over with me.
Oh, it's here.
It's here. I got, that's my main, I got a few amps, got a few Marshalls, but that's my main Marshall, this view. It's 100 watt, I pulled out two tubes, so it's 250. And this is my, when I do more of the rock stuff, I use this one, you know, and it's a really great sounding amp.
Is that a 4x12 cabinet?
No, it's a 212 cabinet. It's an old one. It's an old Marshall, a really tiny one. It's got vintage 30s in there, and it's rocked. It's really rocked. Reinhold Bogner sold this to me like 15 years ago. So for recording, I use a 212.
Okay. And that's the greenbacks or the vintage 30?
Vintage 30s.
Vintage 30s.
I have a couple of caps also with, I like vintage 30s, but I also like the greenbacks. But this one has vintage 30s.
Okay, and then what was the wah?
The wah is a Morley wah fuzz volume. Volume wah fuzz.
Now, were like, you using the fuzz on it too?
Yeah, or
you
that's the fuzz and the wah into the Marshall.
Okay, into the Marshall.
And then 57, with a 57 mic'd. And then I go through my setup, tube preamp and compressor. I got like a signal chain, the same signal chain that I use for vocals, for bass, for acoustic guitars, for electric guitars. Mm-hmm. So I just changed the mic. So.
Oh, that's a great sound. It's just really, really. Now, were there 12 strings in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why magic of 12. The main riff is a 12 string actually, tuned down. And that 12 string is a 1967 Höfner.
I don't know how to. Okay, that's so, great sound. That 12 string is a unique sound.
Yeah, I got this as a gift for a long time, and usually I like fresh strings. I never replaced the strings. It's still the original strings on there. So when you have to hit our heart.
It sounds great. Listen, we're out of time.
Okay.
Real quick, give everybody, while you're setting up, where you're playing or what's going on, give them the website for Radio Venice again.
RadioVenice.tv.
Okay.
Become our friends. Subscribe to us.
And you're on every Sunday, right?
Every Sunday, 4:20. We got great music.
Yes.
Coming up every Sunday. So we had the Delgado brothers, Stanley Barons the other day, yesterday. So we got good stuff coming up.
Now we're going to hear a first-time performance of about 10,000 Miles or More is the name of it.
This is the stuff I've been playing around the last few weeks, and I finished it up yesterday, so I can play it today. So I had a good week.
So I'm going to let him take us out. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you again, Michael, for coming down. It's always an honor to have you on the show. I got
to
bring you back with Tomas so we can talk about the guitars. And this is 10,000 Miles or More.